Church history. We had a review of church history last week. We studied how God dealt with mankind in eternity past, how he came up in time, how he dealt with man in different ways. And all of it was a progressive revelation. A progressive revelation. We can look back in the church age now and see how things were, how things came up, and we'll understand. We can look back and say, how come those people were so stupid? How come they didn't listen? But again, the New Testament says that the Old Testament was given to us for what? For parables and examples, that we not go like they did. We come up to a period of time now in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. And I have to sneeze for a moment. We were studying the second chapter of Revelation, the message to Thyatira. And what does Thyatira mean? And Thyatira covered the years between 606 to 1517. So in church history, we're talking about a period of time between right here and 1517 over here. That's a lot of history right there. We started talking about Muhammad and what they believed. The pillars, the five pillars of their belief. They have to pray five times a day, you know. There's different denominations of Islam. They kill each other all the time, as you know. Islam is a violent religion. Islam is not a religion of peace. George Bush, Rice, his Secretary of State, all of these say Islam is a religion of peace. That is a lie. Islam is a religion of violence, and it always has been. Violence. I heard, today in America, we have a man that's leading this country to destruction. To destruction, basically. That's it. Everything that he does, every move, every day, from the time that he took office, illegally, by the way, we know that now. From the time he took office, he wrote one executive order after another. And every one of his orders damned America in some way. We know that he and his brother and son, Hunter Biden, are all involved with China. Nancy Pelosi is, her whole family. Even McConnell. The Bush family has been involved with China forever, all the time. These people, until Trump took office, there wasn't a whole lot of difference between the Republicans and Democrats. Both of them were crooked. We had some good ones on both sides. But as we look in here, in history, we see this type of thing taking place. Wrong is right and right is wrong. During this period of time, from 606 to 1517, we have two major players in history. Who are the two major players? Islam and Catholicism. And yet, Matthew 16 and 18 says, Jesus talking to his church and to Peter also, he said, you're Peter, a little stone. But upon this gigantic foundational rock, I will be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. It meant there, it tells us that the church is going to have a wrestling match, doesn't it? But don't fear, because every day, every moment, every second, every year, every month, from the time that Jesus left that church and the Holy Spirit came upon it on the day of Pentecost to empower it. That church in reality and truth would exist all the way. But it's going to have a war? It is a religious political war. Now, Muhammad, when he came on the scene, according to Ibn Ishaq, right here, the life of Muhammad, the apostle of God, according to him, when he first started to institute his ideas, and by the way, he borrowed those ideas. There's nothing new that Muhammad had. There was a leader, Asaid was his name, I believe, at that period of time. Muhammad listened to him. They used to say Muhammad had big ears. He listened a lot. He listened to the Christians. He listened to the Gnostics. And he listened to Catholicism. And he listened to this man, said there's only one God. The only problem with Muhammad's story, and even Ibn Ishaq, that at the period of time when they're talking about Muhammad's life from 570 A.D. until he died in 600 and something, 632, that Mecca really wasn't a World Trade Center. Petra was. Later on, the trade routes changed and left Petra to dry up and blow away. And Mecca became a religious center for pagans and Islam. And to tell you the truth, the pagans weren't any worse than Islam. They killed each other all the time. They had these sacred months where they could go to Mecca and they could worship their gods, their pagan gods. And the big pagan god was Allah. That was the big god over all the other little gods. Well, Muhammad's family, according to tradition, the Quraysh, his tribe, was in control of Mecca. And they were making big money on Mecca. Well, Muhammad came there and he got this message. He kind of repeated the story of this his mentor, so to speak. And it wasn't received. Nobody wanted to listen to him. First of all, they were losing money. It was causing trouble and contention. The four sacred months, people were... They didn't kill each other during those four sacred months. They could make their pilgrimage. And the idea was, in Greek mythology and Roman times also, they had these gods and goddesses that they would worship. One of them was Astarte, Venus, whatever you want to call it, at different angles of who she was, who it was, but all it was a meteorite that fell from heaven, and they built this great big temple around this meteorite. And they did the same thing in Mecca. A meteorite fell from heaven, and if you read the story of the life of Muhammad, it tells you about the tribes and where they found this stone that fell, and it was all, you know, they were so superstitious. Most religion today are superstition. People are superstitious. People are more prone to be superstitious than they are to be religious. That's true. Catholicism is superstition. The charismatic movement is superstition. It's all feeling and all tangible things that you can worship and you think you're okay. The modern day prophets today, all prophesying about Trump's going to take back in office again and all this stuff, and yay, 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 everybody's doing this, they're listening to these prophets. Well, there aren't really any modern-day prophets. When the Bible is completed, that's finished, period, zero. I'm going through a lot of different phases, but we're trying to relate all of this stuff to us today. We still are facing Catholicism today. We're still facing Islam. We're still facing Mormonism now and Jehovah's Witnesses and Buddhism and all of these other things were facing all of this superstition. Religion and superstition are different. These cults. Cults. You know what a cult is? A cult is centered around somebody's interpretation of things. Now, recently, it has been discovered in our time, in our where we live today, that Obama, Biden, and Hillary Clinton started this false information, this disinformation thing about Trump. They tried to stop him from becoming president. And then when he was president, they tried to impeach him all the time. They found out all of this is wrong and it's all lies. Islam is a religion of lies. Catholicism is a religion of lies. They take partial truths and then they turn it into something else, into idolatry. Jehovah's Witnesses, they change the person of God. The Mormonism, they change the person of God. And they have these little things you do. Mormons, you know, they when you get out of high school, you're supposed to go on a two-year mission trip. And that's really, this is something you really do, and you do this, and oh, this is really wonderful. And if you haven't had one come to your house, I don't know. I think everybody's had a Mormon come to their house, and everybody's had a Jehovah's Witness come to their house. But it's superstition, that superstition that they do these things. The Bible teaches that we have a real relationship between God and us directly through no one else. Now we go to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ is Jehovah of the Old Testament. Now all this message started there at the seashores of Galilee. In Mark the 3rd chapter, Matthew the 4th chapter, we see all of this happening, but then we see all of this false information. See that? Misinformation. Biden all the time that he was lying to the American public when he was running for president. How about your son, so-and-so? That's Russian disinformation, Russian disinformation. We find out all the disinformation came from the DNC, not the Republican Party. If anything happened during that period of time in Trump's presidency, he called the Republicans into accountability. There still needs to be a lot of that. We see all of this coming down even to this today. How would you like to have lived during this period of time between 606 and 1517? Every bit of the corruption that we have today was going on back then. And people were dying. How many people did LBJ kill in Vietnam? How about the Bush, the longest war in American history? How many people, how many lives are they guilty of in history? We see this. We see this modern warfare. And here we go. The Bidens go over there and get us in trouble in Ukraine. The Biden Hunter was over there taking big payoffs and stuff, messing with Russia all the time. If President Trump would have still been in there, we wouldn't have had this Ukraine war. We might have had some people called on the carpet, what they did over there, all the corruption. Thyatira, the idolatry. Thyatira means continual sacrifice. And that's some of the things that happened during this period of time. And to the angel and to the pastors of the churches in the age of Thyatira, you write these things, says the Son of God. the one having the eyes of him as a flame of fire and the feet of him as brass. Eyes, the flame of fire, he sees everything. And brass is judgment. I have known you and the works of the, and the love and the faith and the diligent ministry and the endurance, the staying power of you and the works of you and the last more than the first. Now, during this period of time, we got true churches. The true church is going to be under heavy persecution from these other religious, superstitious people, Islam and Catholicism. And, of course, they're fighting Gnosticism also. This was heresy. The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ were attacked from within with heresy and from without with persecution. We talked about Muhammad during his time, how that when he started, it was a peaceful religion. No religion is what we call mandatory. But when he left Mecca and went to Medina and killed all those Jewish people down there and took over their whole towns and tribes, there was several tribes of Jewish people down there and they took over. He killed them. He found out that his religion was not rationally and intellectually transferable. People didn't believe it. They just weren't converted mentally. But if you did it by the sword like Catholicism was doing, now here we have Gnosticism that he was related to, they related, that's where Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, etc., etc. That he never died on the cross of Calvary and all of that. He swallowed some of that, or that religion swallowed it. So the church is being attacked from within and without. Both. He said, I see, God said, I see your works. Now during this period of time, Catholicism is going to become very powerful. I've got books all over here. I'm finding the ones that I need from time to time. I've got them set up here, see? You can see all over my reference books. Islam had become very powerful. There were offshoots in Catholicism, and one of the offshoots in Catholicism was Arius of Alexandria. A lot of false doctrine came out of Alexandria of Egypt. Of course, then Muhammad's successors would go down there and burn the whole library of Alexandria, and that was one of the greatest compilations of history in the history of the world. Period. Not only was heresy there, but there was truth in that library. And he burned it. He said there wasn't any reason for anyone to have any book except the Quran. Now, Catholicism and Islam are going to run side by side, except they're going to be clashing all during this period of time. We looked up here. And we saw the Pope was established before Muhammad was basically in power. And so he learned from the Pope. He learned from Islam, not Islam, but Gnosticism and Arian heresy. By the way, Arius of Alexandria, there is a what we call a denomination of Catholicism that believed what he believed today, and they even made him a saint. We see the Pope was established, infant baptism, Mariolatry, the worship of Mary. Infant baptism established by law because in Catholicism now, they wanted you to, that church and the state are together in Catholicism and in Islam. The church and state are one. They are political organizations. They were religious political organizations. The government and all the laws of the government are tied to religion. Catholicism became a religion of idolatry, and as it went on, we can see it, and I will read to you some of the things in the very years, Mariolatry, indulgences. Why did the Catholic Church begin? What is an indulgence, by the way?
An indulgence is something you shouldn't do.
Okay, an indulgence is that God looks over your sins. Okay? If you do this, God will look over your sins. And I'm going to tell you what the Bible teaches. There is no amount of good works can compensate for the existence of evil. There's no amount of good works that can compensate for the existence of evil. Jezebel told Israel back in her time, you go ahead and worship Jehovah, but come here and worship my religion also. And it's okay. Balaam did the same thing. When they asked him to curse Israel, he couldn't curse Israel except what he did do. He said, if you mix a religion, God will get mad at them and kill them. That's how you do it. You get them by influencing them with heresy. And that's exactly what's happened in church history, is that heresies have come in. He said in verse number 20 here in Revelation, the second chapter, but I have this against you, that you permit the woman Jezebel and the one calling herself prophetess. And she teaches and she leads astray my servants to commit fornication and to eat idols sacrifices. Now, that happened in Israel. And it also happened in the church age. The first presbyters, the first elders in the church, elders what? A deacon and a pastor. That's two ordained offices in the church, deacons and pastors. The elders were called priests. Now what we're going to see in Catholicism, we're going to see that the Catholic Church took people back to the Old Testament, to the Old Testament sacrifices, and the Old Testament priests, where the priests had power. But in the New Testament time, the priests have no power. We're all priests, aren't we? All priests unto God. Deacons and pastors are ordained elders in churches to be servants. A pastor and a deacon are a servant. They are not lords. I have a hard time when people call me reverend. I say, I am only a servant. You don't reverence me. You reverence God. But this is where all of this come from. You know, it came out of Catholicism, even into the Protestant Reformation, where they called themselves reverend. Presbyters were first called priest by Lucian in the 2nd century. The sacerdotal mass was instituted by Cyprian in the 3rd century. That's where the mass, you're going to take the ordinances of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper, and you're going to turn them into vehicles of grace. Baptism doesn't get you to heaven. You ought to be baptized if you're saved. But that's not going to keep you out of heaven. You ought to be baptized, but it's not a vehicle of grace. And the Lord's Supper, we take the Lord's Supper at Discover the Word Missionary Baptist Church three or four times a year. You have to be a member of the church to take the Lord's Supper with us. We believe in close communion, close. That means the church members only of that church. And it is not a vehicle of grace. It is what? We are honoring Jesus Christ and remembering what he did for us. Period. That's it. The sacerdotal mass, vehicles of grace were instituted by Cyprian in the 3rd century. Making the sign of the cross was in AD 300. The burning of candles was 320 AD. Burning of candles. What did they do in the Old Testament in the services in the tabernacle? They had incense, and they had the candlestick, and they had the table of showbread. Okay, so we see that, and we see Catholicism begin to copy, and not only they begin to copy that, begin to copy the dress of the priest. The dress of the priest. And the dress of the priest typified Jesus Christ, not them. Everything in the tabernacle and in the temple typified what Jesus would do. The wax candles. Now, a candle, if you're going to burn a candle, it's got to be made out of what?
Beeswax.
This is a Catholicism, okay? It's got to be certified beeswax candle so you can burn it, and you're burning this incense, this candle, and you go do this and you pay some priest to say a prayer and you burn this candle. I had a guy tell me one time when he came to America that the first thing he did, he went to New York and he went in there into a church and had him burn a whole bunch of candles to Mary, and that's why his business had always flourished from there on. Superstition, isn't it? Not religion, it's superstition. The veneration of angels and dead saints and the use of images in 375 A.D. Now see, it's coming along. Coming along. The worship of Astarte. The worship of that stone in Mecca are the same thing. It's superstition. Now, one of the five pillars of Islam is that you have to make a Hajj. You have to make a pilgrimage. The only way that you can be forgiven of your sins in the Islamic religion is if you go to Mecca. And you go there and march 7 times around that stone. It's a meteorite. And you go march 7 times around it and get close enough to transfer your sins to it. That is idolatry, people. It's idolatry. We're going to be reading books and quotations in church history from Baptists down there when they're trying to combat all this, except they're being killed. And the only records we have of some of those people are written by their enemies, because all of them died and all their records were burned. Mass became a daily ritual in 394 A.D. That's a long time to decide to Jesus, isn't it? Jesus established his church around 30 A.D. We're talking about 330 A.D. 394 A.D. And we have the beginning of the exaltation of Mary, the Mother of God, first applied to her by Council of Ephesus in AD 431. Now, the Council of Nicene Council, all of these, they had different councils. And every time they had one of these councils, they changed the rules. The rules were abrogated. They did that also, Muhammad did that also, when he went from Mecca to Medina. He changed the rules. When he was in Medina, when he was in Mecca, he says religion is not compulsory. When he went to Medina, after he took power there, he's religion. You go out and you conquer the whole world. You conquer the world in my name and make everyone submit. They say Islam is a religion of peace, because Islam means what? Islam means surrender. You have to surrender to Islam or you die. Simple as that. Christians out here in the world, we talk about the persecuted churches. out in the world, persecuted Christians in the world. If you're in the Islamic world, you're persecuted. I'll tell you that much right now. Going back to Catholicism again. The two religions. A guy told me here a while back that he left Catholicism and he wasn't going to follow Catholicism anymore. I said, Catholicism and Islam are twin sisters. They teach the same things and demand the same total surrender. Yeah, Islam is a peaceful religion. If you surrender, you can have peace. That's all. Heard Ted Cruz the other day castigating Biden over honoring and exalting and giving $150 million to the Muslim Brotherhood, which has sworn to take America down. Everything he does, you think he was trying to destroy this country on purpose. Number 9, priests began to wear special clothing in 500 A.D. Now they're starting to copy the priests in the Old Testament times. Wearing the special clothing, but the special clothing in the priest in the Old Testament time was designed, everything on it was designated to picture Jesus Christ. Number 10, the extreme unction was instituted in 526. In other words, you had to have these last rites, or else you couldn't get into heaven. But the Bible says, believe in Jesus Christ and you are saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to whosoever believeth in him and follows the orders of the Pope or follows the orders of Muhammad will be saved. Maybe. That's not what it says. Extreme unction in 526. And then purgatory is invented. What is purgatory?
It's a holding place.
It is a holding place. It's an invented holding place.
It's a corral.
Like Russian disinformation, okay? It's Russian disinformation, so to speak. Purgatory. Right here. Purgatory was instituted by Gregory the First. Invented. Purgatory is a place where all of the unbaptized babies go. And the idea of Catholicism is a baby, you know, it hasn't done too much yet. Especially if it dies. And so, instead of the flames of hell or the great torment, they're on a spit rotating under a candle light. Just heating them up a little bit. You know, just making them uncomfortable. And they're going to stay there until all of their sins are purged. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It said, confess. Believe in your heart and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and you are saved. Saved means saved. It's done. It's over with. Number 12, in 600 A.D., we're going to have some more Russian disinformation. They're going to take the Bible out of the language of the people, out of Greek. Everybody knew Greek. They're going to take it out of the language of the people and translate it into Latin. And now they're going to have Latin in the masses. So all that you have to learn now as a Catholic, you've got to learn when they ring this bell and they say this word, you're going to kneel or you're going to do this or you're going to do that. That's superstition. See? In Islam, you have to pray in a certain posture for Allah to hear your prayers, and Allah only listens to your prayers in Arabic. Pure Arabic, and there isn't anything as pure Arabic, by the way. And so now the Mass is going to be turned into Latin. I think all the time that the adherents to and the leaders in Islam were listening and watching what was going on in the Catholic Church. Because as we see this, we see all of the things co-instituted in these two groups. But I have this against you. You permit the woman Jezebel, the one calling herself a prophetess. Have you noticed that many of the leaders in the charismatic movement are women? They are. The prophetess Jezebel. That many of the leaders in all the Pentecostal churches, many of the pastors' wives got up and preached more than they did. And what do they preach? A prosperity gospel. You know, when you go to church, Joel Osteen, these people that preach this prosperity gospel, Saddleback Church down south, God wants you to be happy and He wants you to have everything you want. The book, the Shack. Shack is pure paganism. Paganism. But many people believe in that. Name it and claim it. Sometimes down to the time that I've been pastored for the last 50 years, every now and then people come up with some weird ideas. Where in the world are they getting? Who have you been listening to? Who have you been listening to? Well, so-and-so. I said, there's your problem. Turn it off. It's confusing you. Reverend Ike, remember that? Name it and claim it. All of these things. This is all paganism. It is taking the things of the world and making them spiritual. We need a house, a roof over our head. It's nice to have enough money in the bank that you can pay your bills and not have to worry about it. Isn't that nice? I remember one time this girl came to me and she said, my pastor told me, I told him I need a new car. And he said, go down and buy yourself a Cadillac, the top of the line, the Coupe de Ville. God wants you to have that. She had it for about 3 months. She did. She had it about 3 months. Wait. God didn't want her to have that. That was a lie. But you hear these things. All the minor reign prophets, all the guesswork. You see people that are going to Christian churches that are involved in this name it and claim it baloney. You go back and figure out where it all came from. Where it all comes from. Name it and claim it. Our Father, we send this message out. I pray that you touch people's hearts and try to relate it to today, all of the things that happened during this period of time. And as we go back and we see how your people suffered during these years and what they stood for. And it is not easy today when people come up and tell you, oh, did you hear this prophecy? To tell them the truth. The prophecy of your word, the truth in the Bible that is forever chiseled in stone. Father, please use this message for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.